Good morning, Fairhaven Church. Now let's try that again. Good morning, Fairhaven Church. Great to see you. Would you help me and welcome all of our campuses, Springboro to the north, Northmont to the, Springboro to the south, rather, Northmont to the north. Classics is joining us. We have many that are joining us right now online. Would you just welcome them? We are one church in a variety of locations. Matt and his wife attend our Springboro campus, and Matt was working in the community and living in our community here, and he was just destroying his life and destroying his marriage, and it was affecting his two girls. One's an adult daughter and one's a teenage daughter. And at work one day, somebody from one of our campuses, Dennis, actually saw that something was going on in his life and went over and said, hey, is there something that I can help you with? And they began a conversation, and so Dennis introduced Matt to our campus pastor down in Springboro, Jared, and they began a conversation, and God did a miracle in Matt's life and in his wife's life and their family, and things began to change, and the trajectory of his life began to change, and Matt, who was far from God, started walking closer and closer and gave his life to Jesus Christ. He was baptized, and he's now serving on our guest services team down there, leads a small group, and I'm so grateful for what God has done in Matt's story. Matt actually has a story, and I want you, those of you at the Springboro campus, I know you're high-fiving each other right now, but all the rest of us, why don't you thank God for what has happened in Matt's life down there in Springboro? If you're a guest with us here today, I got to tell you, I'm excited because I get to do two of the things that I love to do. I mean, I absolutely love to talk about vision because I believe that God has given us a vision for our future for the next 2 years. And if you're a guest, you couldn't have come at a better time because you get to sit back and listen. And if you would like to participate, we want you to participate if that's something that you would like to do. If you're visiting from out of town, hopefully you'll see that as a church, you could pray for us, even in the churches that you attend. If you're visiting from out of town, we're glad you're here as we're going to be talking about our vision. Last week, I told you that I'm going to do two things every week. One, we're going to talk about the specifics of our vision. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and then we're going to go and look in God's Word because the truth is our vision is where God is leading us. And as we look into God's Word, we're going to discover who God is. And when you look at what God has as far as vision and you look at who God is and you see those two coming together, some miracles can take place in the middle of that in our lives and in the lives of all those that live in this community and around the community. So we're so glad that you're here today because we believe that there are thousands more Matts in our community. Would you agree, church? There are many, many more Matts that you live next to and that you work, you know, with and who need to find hope in Jesus Christ. And that is our passion and our desire. And so we want to advance what we're trying to do in this city and around the world as we think about our ECHO initiative. That's what we're calling it. And I'll explain that in just a little bit. And so I'm very, very excited about this. And so here's what I want you to do. If you brought your ECHO book with you that we gave to you last week, would you just do me a favor and wave it up high like this? Because I asked you to bring it every week, and some of you actually listened. If you didn't, would you raise your hand? No, I'm just kidding. Some of you may not have been here last week, and it's okay, we have one for you. If you're sitting on the left edge of any aisle or row in any one of our campuses, would you just reach down below you? You are the row captain, and if you'll take that basket out and pass it down the row to anybody who doesn't have one. This book, by the way, is for every single person here at Fairhaven Church. And so we want you to have one with your name on it, and so write your name on it. And this booklet will be our guide over these next 5 weeks. We started last week, and we'll continue on this week. And in fact, if you want to see a picture of Matt, anybody want to see a picture of Matt? It's on page 36 of your book, and you can turn there right now and see a picture of Matt. If you want to actually see a video of his story, you can go to fairhaven.church/echo and watch his story there. It's an amazing story. I mean, I'm just so proud of Matt for being willing to share his story, his wife and his two daughters. It's just absolutely awesome. And in this ECHO book that we've given to you, there is something in the very back, and we're calling it a prayer card. Some people may call it a commitment card. I prefer prayer card. And if you'll take this out with you, hopefully you brought this back with you because this is your prayer card. Of course, I asked you to put it on your fridge or in your office or your Bibles. And this right here is where I'm going to ask you, church, pay close attention. I'm going to ask you to fearlessly ask God what he would want you to do. That's all we want. Nothing more, nothing less. We only want what God wants you to do. And just take this card over the next 3 weeks, because 3 weeks from this weekend, we're going to ask you to come forward and give an offering by giving God this prayer card as you pray through it. And so just hold that and be praying about that over the next couple of weeks. What I want you to do, though, in this Echo book is turn to the tab that says Farther. Because last week in a video, which you can see on our website, we told you that we want to echo farther, we want to echo louder, and we want to echo longer. And so as we think about these three ways that we're going to echo into the world around us, I want to each week share with you some details about this vision. Today I want to talk to you about how we can echo farther. There's three aspects of how we desire to echo farther. And so you can turn the page, and right there you'll see all three ways that we're going to echo farther. Number one, we're going to take our Springboro campus, which is our newest campus. They've been meeting in an elementary school for the last 4 years. Last year, they had 13% increase in their attendance, and they're reaching that community, and it's time to put them in a permanent facility. And what you're seeing right now is a concept of what it would look like for us to put them into a permanent facility. I had the opportunity of visiting a church in Maryland that has many, many campuses in their community, and they took a building, an existing building, and they, you know, tore out the insides and rebuilt it, and it looks something like this, where there's community space for people to gather during the week, not only on the weekends, but then there's an opportunity for worship. 600 seats we want to put in this facility, about 25,000 square feet, if you like to know those kinds of details. We want atrium space for a coffee shop so people can come and sit and have conversations and experience community and be a hub in the Springboro community, and so we're excited about that. We also want room to accommodate kids. How many of you think we should have some room for kids? Can I see your hands in all of our camps, right? Kids, we want kids, and so we're going to have spaces for kids so that we can reach kids in that community, and we're working with a commercial realtor, one of the best ones in the Springboro area, and he's helping us to find a building or a property of some kind. I'm working with a governing board who is the group of people, 10 of them, that I report to, and so you need to know that if you're relatively new to the church, and it's exciting. Here's what I want you to do. In your book, on that tab on Further, would you just write this word down? Would you write, pray for property? Because if you know anything at all about the history of Fairhaven Church, and how we moved from downtown Dayton to a YMCA with 12 families, and from a YMCA to a facility on Ron Road, to a facility at Whip Road, to then Northmont, to then Springboro, you'll know that God did miracles in every one of those situations, and we're asking God to do another miracle. And so would you help us pray for a property or a building, an existing building, to come up in the Springboro area? And we are looking at many right now, but would you just pray that God would do a miracle? And I'm sure that Springboro would appreciate that. Again, I'm sure Springboro is high-fiving right now. And so by applause, would you just say to Springboro, we love you, and we're going to pray for you, right? Just do that right now. All right, that's the first way that we're going to echo farther. Here's the second way. We're going to move to Beaver Creek. We're going to go to the north and east, and here's the reason why. Because we have 1,500 of you that attend Fairhaven that live in the community. And you might be asking, does Beaver Creek need another church? The answer is probably no, but here's the reason why we're going there, because you have friends, and you have coworkers, and you have neighbors that know you, and we want to make it really easy for you to reach those that live in your community, and so we're going to be moving to Beaver Creek. Once we get Springboro established, watch for announcements. If you live in the Beaver Creek area, we want to gather you together. We need to learn from you. We need to understand where the best place to go is, and we'll talk to you about going up there, because the military base is close up there, and we want to do a better job in reaching military families. If you look at this image right here, you'll see the dots represent an address of somebody that lives at Fairhaven, and you can see it is dense in the Beaver Creek area. See that there? And so we're going to go to Beaver Creek, and we want to reach all of those, and so we're very, very excited about that. So that's the second thing we're going to be doing as a part of echoing farther. The third thing is that we want to continue to maintain our passion to reach this city and the world around us. Let me tell you a little bit about our city and the surrounding area of the Miami Valley. I don't know if you know or not, but Northern Dayton has 35% poverty. Did you know that? 35%. And I don't know about what you think, but church, I'm not okay with that. I don't think we should be okay with that. Anybody with me on that? We should not be okay with that. We want to make sure that people have the opportunity to be able to live and to take care of their family. And so we want to do something about that. We are partnered with different organizations in our city to help move the needle on that, because 35% is way too high. I don't know if you saw the Time magazine article not too long ago on the opioid problem. If you saw the article, there were 7 pictures in Time magazine. 5 of them were Dayton, Ohio. 5. Church, we've got some work to do in our community, and so part of ECHO is we want to invest and we want to help our partners that are in this community as we want to help reach folks that are really struggling. We also want to do what we do around the world. We have global staff all over the world, and we want to increase our support for them. We want to increase our desire to do great things in the world, and so we're going to do that as a part of ECHO, because we believe that God wants us to be a part of what he's doing in the world, not just in Dayton, Ohio, and so we want to try to do both. By the way, a story that you can look at in your book is Monique. Let me show you a picture of Monique. She's on staff actually with us. Monique was in poverty, and Fairhaven Church, we came around her, and for 18 months we sat with her and helped her and talked with her and loved her and helped her to pull herself out of poverty. She has broken the cycle of poverty in her family. She's the first person in all of her family to graduate from college. I'm so proud of her. She's on staff with us. And Monique actually is part of Fairhaven Church, and she's here in one of our campuses. And so would you do me a favor and just say, Monique, we love you. We're glad of what God has done in your life. See, we want to echo farther. We want to do that through Springboro and Beaver Creek in our outreach, and we're very, very excited about that. And so before we jump into God's Word, because we want to learn something else about who God is, and I hope you brought your Bible or device, before we do that, I'm just going to invite you in all of our camps at Springboro, Northmont, Classics right here in Centerville. Would you just stand and say hello to the people around you, and just introduce yourself. Anybody have a story? If you want a t-shirt like this, we told you last week that you can pick one up at the end of all of our services and all of our campuses. We'd love you to pick up a shirt that says, I have a story, because we all have a story. And if you're willing to commit to just asking God what your part is and listening to God over these 5 weeks as we're in this series, we want you to pick up a shirt and wear it proudly. It says, Find Hope on the back, and it says, I have a story. As a matter of fact, in all of our campuses, we have this little wall that people are writing on, and you should read some of the things that people are writing. It's absolutely amazing as they're writing their story, saying, you know, I have been taken out of addiction. God has healed my family. I'm so grateful for God's presence in my life through a really rough time. I mean, there's all kinds of things. You can actually go to the wall at each campus, and there's iPads there, and we want you to record your story. We have stories that are recorded that we're going to push out on social media, because we all have a story, and we want you to share your story as we go through this series. The reason why we're calling the series Echo is because of Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, and it says this, Lord, the prophet Habakkuk says, Lord, I have heard of your fame. He's saying, I've heard the things that you've done. I've heard the stories of people's lives. I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. And if you missed it last week, I asked at all the campuses for those that had a story of something that God has done in their life, because last week we said God always comes through. He always comes through. May not on our time, may not be the way we want it to, but he always comes through. And I said, if you've got a story, would you stand? And all over we stood, and we saw so many thousands of people, and it's just so encouraging to see that as we have seen what God has done. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them. We'd like to use the word echo. Lord, echo it. Echo them in our day. Echo it today in our lives. Echo through your story. Echo in our time. Make them known again. And so that's why we're calling this echo, because we want God to do it again. To do in your life and in my life, in our community, in our world around us, as God wants to use our story. It's amazing how God does come through. I got an email on Monday after last weekend, and Dale and Sue in the email told me that they've been praying that God would come through in their son and daughter-in-law's life. There's been a broken relationship. They didn't go into all the details. Frankly, it doesn't matter. And as they were sending this email to me, I was so encouraged because they said on Monday, God came through. They hadn't talked to their son in over a year. And on Monday, they got a phone call from their son, and their son said, we'd love for you to come and visit us and begin the process of rebuilding that relationship. So next weekend, Dale and Sue get the opportunity to go and visit their son and their daughter-in-law. How many of you would say God came through? Am I right? And would you pray for them as next weekend they have the opportunity to do that? What I want to do with you today is look at two stories, and I want us to learn one more thing about God. Last week we learned that God always comes through. Two stories. If you have a Bible, you can turn with me in your Echo books, actually, to page 44, because I want you to write this down so that you don't forget this. This one thing that we're going to learn in these two stories. The first story is not listed in your Echo book, so you may want to jot it down. 1 Kings chapter 17. In 1 Kings chapter 17, I don't have the time to read it for you, so I'm just going to tell the story. But if your Bibles are open or your devices, you can read it for yourself. Let me tell you the story. In 1 Kings, we find a story of a single mom. She's got this little boy, and there's a famine going on in the land, and she only has enough oil and enough flour to make one more loaf of bread. Now, I can't even imagine that in America, right? Those that went through the Depression, you probably could tell us stories about that, but I can't even imagine that in my lifetime, where, you know, you only have enough for one more loaf of bread, and in the story, she says, I'm going to make one more loaf of bread for me and for my son, and then we're going to die. Boy, how bad does it have to get before you just say, you know what, I'm going to have my last meal, and then we're going to die. And in the story, Elijah, God shows up to Elijah, who's the prophet, and said, Elijah, I want you to go to this city, and I want you to meet this single mom who has a little son, and I want you to move in with them. And when you move in with them, you need to know that she's got enough oil and enough flour to make one loaf of bread. So when you go there, will you move in with her and tell her to make one loaf of bread? But here's the catch. You got to tell her that she should feed you first. So that's what Elijah does. He goes to the city and he comes to the lady's house, single mom. He knocks on the door and he says, God told me to move in, and he told me for you to make me a loaf of bread, and you need to feed me first. Now help me out here. If that happened to you, some of us would be like, you must have the wrong house. Am I right, church? I mean, you know, the story gets really pretty interesting here, and so that's exactly what happened. Elijah moves in, and she makes a loaf of bread. Now, moms, here's what I know about you, because my wife is a mom to four sons. Here's what I know about you, moms. You would absolutely feed your son first before you'll feed yourself. I don't know that you'll feed some stranger who comes to the door before your son or before yourself. And that's exactly what she does, because Elijah tells her, this is what God wants you to do, because God's going to teach her a lesson that hopefully he'll teach us today. Don't miss this. Write this down. God is our resupplier. God always resupplies. When you get to a place in your life where God taps you on the shoulder to be generous in some way, he always resupplies. Because God is our resupplier. How in the world is God going to resupply this lady? She has enough oil and a little bit of flour to make one more loaf of bread. And you know, the truth is, we, all of us that claim to be Christ followers, we find ourselves in the same shoes as this single mom in 1 Kings chapter 17. Because the reality is, every time you're moved by God to give to the poor, every time, Ever driven by a corner and seen some guy or some lady sitting on a corner with a cardboard box? And you're like, should I, shouldn't I, should I? You know, you go through that, right? Every time you're moved to give to the poor, every time you're moved to help somebody, whether it's a coworker or a friend, every time you're moved to that, every time you're moved to tithe your money, which means you give a tenth of it to God, every time you're moved to give to a vision plan like Echo, and you feel the tap of God on your shoulder toward generosity, which some of you might be feeling that tap as we go through these weeks, a few questions come to mind. Let's be honest. Questions like, does God have my back on this one? Like, if I actually do something, will God resupply? Does God really have my back on this one? I mean, will God see what I'm doing? Will God absolutely honor my expression of generosity? Whether you're helping a guy on the corner or somebody at work or, you know, through the generosity of this campaign as we talk about this initiative. Does God really have our backs on this? I mean, will God really come through on this? Another question comes to my mind, if we're being honest, is will God see my generosity, and will he resupply? Because in the story, we learned that God is our resupplier. He resupplied. But will he do that in my life? Because here's the struggle. If you're new to your faith journey, or if you've been in your faith journey and you've really never responded to the tap of God toward generosity, you don't have any history. In other words, you can't look back and see how God has resupplied. And a lack of history in your life creates more questions like, I don't know, this sounds all really good, but I don't know about that. I remember when I was 23 years of age, I just married Kathy, and life was great. I mean, I couldn't believe it. I landed her, and I thought to myself, man, I'm like the luckiest guy in the world, and so I needed a job because I was going to go back to school and get ready to be a pastor and finish my education. And so many of you know I've told the story. I went and got a job with UPS, loved UPS. And in order to get the job, though, I had to go downtown New York City in order to talk to some pretty high-up guys in UPS because I wanted to drive. I didn't want to load packages. I don't know if you know this or not, but drivers make more money than loaders. And so I thought, well, I don't want to load packages. I want to drive. But apparently the policy is you have to load packages before you drive. So I thought, I'm going to fight that policy. So I got dressed up, and I literally, you know, took me a couple of months to get the appointment, and I drove across the Brooklyn Bridge. Anybody been to New York City before? Right? I drove across the Brooklyn Bridge and went downtown to this building. I don't even know if it's still there or not. And I, you know, went in the elevator, went up to the office, and this big guy who was, I don't know, vice president of the world or something, I sat down with him, and his name was Howie, and I said, Howie, I'm not going to waste your time. I'm here today because I want a job with UPS, and I understand you have to load before you drive. I want to challenge that. Put me in a truck for 30 days, and if you're not absolutely satisfied, I will walk away and never look back. He looks at me, and he says, I like your attitude. So he put me in a truck. So I was pretty excited about that. I was dressed up in a suit, you know, ready for this interview. I got on the elevator and went down to the lobby, and I got to the lobby. I was walking out of the building, and the receptionist said, sir, can I talk to you for a second? Okay. So I walked up, and she said, all of us are taking, you know, and wanting to help this family because one of our UPS drivers died in a car accident. And his family doesn't have very much, and so we're asking people if they'd like to make a donation in this basket. I'm 23 years of age. I have no history of generosity in my life. And I thought to myself, boy, what do I do? I knew I had $20 in my pocket because back in, you know, in the mid-80s, you had to have money in your pocket because if you were in New York City, there were tolls at every single bridge. If you've ever been there, you know. So I started doing some math, and I thought it would be a little awkward because I only had a $20 bill. I thought it would be a little strange if I pulled my 20 out and put it in the basket and got change. Am I right? That's a little odd. I knew I had enough gas to get home, so I felt the tap on my shoulder, and so I took the $20 out and I put it in the basket. It felt so great until I got to my car, and then I thought, man, I gotta go across the George Washington Bridge. Back then, it was $5.25 to get the toll. Now it's $15. Went up a little bit. And so I got to the toll booth, and there was a lady there, and I said to her, "Ma'am, I don't have any money." And she looked at me with this kind of New York look. And I don't know if you've ever seen that New York look, like, you're an idiot, right? I kind of got that look. And so I said to her, I said, "Really, I mean, honestly," and I was trying to explain it to her. She says, it's okay, you're the guy." I thought, oh no, like she's already called the police and I'm gonna get a ticket. And she goes, no, you're the guy. And I go, what do you mean? She said, "Today, some guy was coming through here and he paid his toll and he says, I don't know if this ever happens, but if somebody comes here today and doesn't have money for a toll, I wanna pay for it in advance." And she said, "You're the guy." And I was like, "I'm the guy." And she lifted the gate and I drove through. Isn't that awesome? God resupplied in that moment, you know? $5.25. That was a beginning for me, you know, because you might be here and you don't have any history in your life. And so you're trying to get over the hump. You're thinking, I don't know. Will God resupply? I mean, if he promises to, and if he promises to have our back, why wouldn't we be generous? Why wouldn't we? The reality is, it's because some of us just don't have any history. See, the answer to that question, why wouldn't we be? The answer to that question determines your view of God. The answer to that question determines your view of Echo, because God is our resupplier. Going back to the story now, in 1 Kings chapter 17, so what happens is Elijah gets in there and she makes the loaf of bread for Elijah, and then she goes back to the kitchen, and wouldn't you know, there's more oil and more flour. She makes a loaf of bread for her son. She goes back to the kitchen. There's enough oil and some bread, and she makes bread for herself. And in fact, the story tells us in 1 Kings that there's enough oil and flour until the famine ends. Because God is our resupplier. It's absolutely amazing. I hate to even tell you this story, but the reality is, when I moved to Dayton, my wife and I moved to Dayton, after a couple of years here, God gave us a vision plan here in Dayton. And so my wife and I, we had prayed about it, and we felt like God was tapping us on the shoulder, and we were giving this amount. But we also had a son that was very sick. I've told this story once before. And so a couple of months where bills were coming in, these, you know, medical bills were coming in, and I didn't know what to do. And so without even telling my wife, I'm embarrassed to tell you, I just took I believed that God wanted us to participate in the vision, and I started paying the medical bills. And many of us would be like, well, that's the responsible thing to do. And it is. And I remember driving home, 3 months went by, I remember driving home from the office here, and I pulled over, and I began to weep, not, you know, horribly, but weep in my heart, because God sort of said to me as I was driving home, "Do you trust me?" And that night at dinner, I sat Kathy down, and I said, "Kath, I have an apology to make to you. You know how we felt like God wanted us to do something?" And I said, "Well, I haven't been doing it. Because I felt like, you know, God, you know, we needed to pay these bills and medical bills, and so I paid the bills, and I'm really sorry. In fact, I'm going to trust God, and so we're going to do something about that." And so the next week, we took 3 months, and we gave that in our generosity to God. The next week, you're not going to believe this. The next week, I got a letter in the mail. It was from the IRS. They had made a mistake on my 1986 taxes, and it was to the dollar. Now you tell me. See, I learned when I was in Dayton, and I learned going across the George Washington Bridge, and this single mom here learned that God is our resupplier. See, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul says, "And my God will supply," or you could add, resupply every need according to his riches and glory. Matthew chapter 6 says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things," or you could say, he'll resupply, and it'll be added to you. You know, when we look at our finances, it's really interesting. When we look at our finances, there's kind of two categories. And you know, I've been doing this long enough. It's really interesting. There's two categories. There's the one category where people say, I want to go from A to B in my planning. And you should plan, by the way. Planning is really important. We have lots of people that will help you in our church family if you need that. But some people say, I want to go from A to B in my finances, and it's going to take 100% of what I have in order to go from A to B. Then there's another group of people over here that says, I want to plan too, and I want to go from plan A to plan B, but I believe that I can do that with 90% or less. And somehow it goes from A to B to C, and C is kind of interesting because that's where God shows up, and he resupplies and does all kinds of things. And so you got this one group that has an A to B to C plan, and you got this group over here that goes from A to B. Here's what I find really interesting. This group over here thinks this group are idiots. Because they're like, you know what? If you don't honor God and you don't follow what he's saying to do with your finances, then you're an idiot. This group over here thinks this group is an idiot because they're like, you know what? Look, God gave it to you, and so you should work with it and plan for it, and it's going to take 100%. Both of these think the other one's an idiot. So here's the question for us. What kind of an idiot are you going to be? Right? I mean, if God is our resupplier, then you and I have to face that question in our lives. And let me just tell you, as pastor here at Fairhaven Church, I only want you to do what God is asking of you. That's it. Only what God is asking you to do. Well, there's a second story, and it's in 2 Kings chapter 4. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, again, I don't have time to read the story, but let me tell the story to you. It's another single mom. Actually, she's a widow. Her husband died and left her with some bills. Now, Elisha, how many of you know that there's an Elijah and an Elisha? And so Elisha is the prophet now in 2 Kings. And so this widow with kids goes to Elisha and says, what do I do? What do I do? I mean, I've got these bills. And so Elisha says, I want you to go and collect as many jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. How hard is it to ask people for help? It's really hard, isn't it? But you know that God resupplies sometimes through community? It's amazing how he supplies. You know, through community. So Elisha says, go and ask your neighbors and get as many jars as you can and bring them back. And when your boys have all these jars, close the door and start pouring the jars, oil. So that's what she does. Her sons go out and they get all these jars and they bring them back to the house. They close the doors and she pours the oil into one jar and calls the boys, sons. And so they bring another jar over and she pours it and fills it up. And she does this for jar after jar after jar until there's no more jars. And so then she goes to Elisha and she says, what do I do? And Elisha says, take all these jars of oil and go and sell them and take care of your bills. Because this widow learned what the single mom learned, which is what I have learned and which is what hopefully all of us have learned. And that God is our resupplier. And because he chooses to use our community, it's amazing how he chooses to use people around us. Mike and Becky, who attend the Northmont campus, this is their story. Their story is that God resupplied, but he did that through people. Watch their story.
Early on in our marriage, which is 30 years now, you know, God touched our lives with a tough situation that we were in 6 months into our marriage. She was a school teacher. I work construction. She was RIFT, which is a reduction in force, and so she was without a job, and I ended up getting injured on the construction site. Here we were, newly married. We owned a house and a car payment, and no income. And we had the times where we didn't know where we were going to get our next penny to pay for a house payment, buy food, a doctor's appointment bill, what have you. We just didn't know where money was coming from. But by God's grace, we had people that would show up with bags of groceries. We've had the moments where you had a bill that was due and a check would just randomly show up in the mail and it would be within pennies of what we owed, what we had. And it, I mean, today it's one of those defining moments that it still gets you because you realize that it wasn't anything that we did. It was truly by the grace of God that all this stuff took place. And, you know, we made it through. We kept everything that we owned, and God provided jobs for both of us. And we're here today to tell the story and share what God did with our lives.
Why we love to give to Fairhaven Haven is because part of it goes to expand the kingdom. I would encourage somebody who's worried about, you know, giving to take that plunge. And there were times when obviously we didn't know what we were going to eat, and you know, we would still give, you know, financially. And looking back, you know, God obviously has blessed that, but taking that first step and trying to trust God versus yourself.
God's generosity to us has given us that heart of sharing and giving to others. There is a deep, deep joy that you get from giving unconditionally that until you step out and do it, I don't know that you experience the true joy of giving until you do that.
Would you help me encourage Dale and Becky as they've told their story as they're right now at the Northmont campus? Thank you. Mike and Becky. You see, when God resupplies, we become fearless as He taps us on the shoulder. When God resupplies, we become different in our lives. Some of you might be here in all of our campuses and you're thinking, you know what, I need God to resupply right now. And so I want to pray for you because I know that that's probably true. In a group this size and all of our campuses, would you just bow your heads with me for just a second? And would you pray for maybe some people that you know that they need God's supply in their life? Let me pray for them. Father, we thank you that we can see these stories and we remind ourselves that you are a God that resupplies. I pray, Father, for those that are right now where they need you. I pray that you would show up, that you would come through, that you would have their backs, as your word tells us. Thank you that we can learn these principles about you and it strengthens our hearts as we live out our faith. Thank you for this vision that you've given us called Echo. We ask your blessing in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, Amen. Amen.